Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back the governor of Rhode Island, Gina Raimondo. Thank you for joining us, Governor.
Thank you, Ian. Good morning.
Governor Raimondo this week unveiled her budget proposal for the fiscal year starting in July. The spending plan avoids broad-based tax increases, raises education funding and the minimum wage, and it includes other steps meant to spark economic growth. Governor, you've spent a lot of time talking about how Rhode Island needs more middle-class jobs. So will your budget help people who are out of work right now to get a job?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the theme of the budget is skills that matter and jobs that pay. And everything in the budget is designed for that. There's significant investments in job training. In fact, I was at Westerly. We're opening a new campus for the community college. There's money in the budget for that. It's a combined program with Electric Boat. And that's a perfect example. You know, if you're listening to this program now and if you're unemployed, you should consider going to the community college and maybe there's a job for you at Electric Boat. And that's just, you know, one example. It's all designed to make sure we have higher wage jobs in Rhode Island, which are innovation-based jobs, R&D-based jobs, and that our people have the skills they need to get those jobs.
Is the program broad enough to reach all the people who lack skills now and to skill them up and get them jobs?
You know, it's an excellent question. And of course, you always want to do more and move more urgently. But, you know, in the budget, we're starting from the youngest all the way through. So there's money for universal all-day kindergarten, for more pre-K classes, for computer science K through 12, for more advanced curriculum in high school, and then on through advancements at the community college, full funding for URI, CCRI, and RIC, no increases in tuition at those schools, a college scholarship program. One of the things I'm so happy about and grateful for the General Assembly's partnership is last year we created a scholarship program called Rhode Island's Promise. It provides money for people to go to college. 6,000 students are going to college because of that. We got to invest in skills so folks can have jobs.
Scott, how would you evaluate the governor's economic program?
I thought it was a very optimistic address, frankly. I thought there was a little bit of something for everyone in there. I did notice a couple of things. One, casually, those who know the governor casually know she has a fine sense of humor, but in formal occasions, not so much. But the other night, I thought she used that very well, turning to Nick Mattiello, the speaker, and Teresa Pivoweed, saying we're not going to agree on everything, and it elicited a nice laugh from the folks in the chamber. I've also noticed that compared to your campaign rhetoric, Governor, that you've kind of shifted off this idea that we have to bring manufacturing back, which you seem to talk about every day. Now you're looking towards a little bit different economic model of kind of a high-tech knowledge future.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Because manufacturing today is high tech. In fact,
some of it.
Right. Some of it. Most of it. The manufacturing that's going to be done in America is mostly high tech. And the story I told, actually, in the State of the State was about a manufacturing company called Greystone. We used some of our new tax incentives to encourage them to add a couple dozen more jobs. And it's manufacturing, but it's high tech manufacturing. And so that's where I want to move the economy, to these high tech jobs.
Maureen, your thoughts on the governor's economic proposals?
Well, I thought the State of the State address went very well. But in looking over the budget, I too agree that there's something for everyone. And I thought it was wisely constructed. The only thing that occurred to me was when I was looking at the budget itself, I thought to myself, with a couple of exceptions, this looks like a really solid, progressive Republican budget.
You thought the expansion of the EITC and increasing minimum wage are Republican
budget?
But
I'm saying generally speaking, when I was looking at it, when I was looking at the prompts and the, you know, the kinds of things for business, it just occurred to me, I thought, this could be a Republican. You know, this could have been Charlie Baker's budget. What do you think?
Well, the budget's about opportunity. You know, we still have a jobs crisis in Rhode Island. The good news is the economy created a lot of jobs last year. The bad news is people are working more for less. Our median income is still down. And so to the extent that what you hear in the budget is a real focus on growth, economic growth that includes everybody, you know, that's what you're hearing. I'll say, though, the core value of that budget is to make sure that nobody's left behind. And I think that's a core Democratic value. I think it's an American value. Everybody deserves a chance. You know, I highlighted Genesis She's an amazing young woman from the Dominican Republic, was working three jobs to get through Rhode Island College, and now got one of these scholarships. The budget's for her, for people like her. You're willing to work hard, you're going to have opportunity in Rhode Island.
Speaking of not leaving people behind, public education in Rhode Island for many years has been underperforming. You say that Education Commissioner Ken Wagner will be rolling out a plan in the near future to emulate the success of Massachusetts in improving public education. You say money is not the whole answer. So what specifically does Rhode Island need to do to improve public education?
That's the key. The unlocking opportunity is education. So it's, I think the formula is high standards, a robust curriculum, teaching young people the skills they need to get a job or go to college, more autonomy at the school level. Let's unshackle the hands of teachers and principals, let them do what they do best, which is teach and innovate, and also more accountability. So one of the things that we put in the budget is, I think the budget of every school at the school level ought to be online. You know, if you send your kids to a particular school, you ought to be able to go online and see how that money is being spent. That is the formula Massachusetts has followed for the past 20 years, and they've had stunning results, and it's one that I think we need to look at.
Maureen, Massachusetts revamped its education funding formula about 1993 to steer more money to public schools. Do you think Rhode Island can make significant changes without significant new money?
Well, I do think that what the governor proposed in terms of moving some more money to the public schools in terms of the charter system is one way. And I do think in terms of emulating Massachusetts, your proposal was very wise about free SAT and PSAT tests. But what I thought was important about that was the implication that you raised that that would be the standard. One of the things that Massachusetts has done for a very long time is have accountability through a statewide testing. And I think this is a way in to get around all the rancor. And I think it's a very good idea. And I expect it'll correct some of the deficiencies that we've had.
Yeah. So what one thing we're looking hard at, and Commissioner Wagner is talking to the Federal Department of Education, is replacing the 11th grade PARC test with the SAT, because the SAT is relevant. The SAT now is going to be linked to the Common Core. And that's exactly what you said. It's a good assessment. It helps you get into college. And we won't fight about the test. Let's stop fighting about the test.
Scott, as we know, public schools are pretty good in Barrington and East Greenwich, but not so much in the state's poorer communities. How do you see the outlook?
Well, the problem is that even Massachusetts, nowhere in the country have we broken this link between the socioeconomic background of the parents and the achievement of the students. And I hope what comes out of this is that we stop bashing the teachers' unions. All the teachers in Massachusetts are unionized.
I agree with that. You know what's interesting, though? If you look at, say, East Providence compared to Seekonk, or Swansea compared to Bristol Warren, right next door to each other, same demographic, we spend pretty much the exact same amount of money as Massachusetts pure pupil. They have unbelievable results compared to ours. So it's not just the urban suburban, though I agree with what you said.
Because if you look at Fall River or New Bedford, you'll find that they have wide gaps between minority students and majority students.
True. I don't disagree with you, but I'm just saying Seekonk and East Providence shouldn't have results that are that as wildly mm-hmm. different as they are. And we have work to do. And it isn't money, because they spend the same amount of money per student.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Governor Gina Raimondo.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. If you enjoyed the conversation, please visit our website at rapr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.